Today on the Little Dum Dum Club, a great new episode with guests Andy Zaltzman and Tom Ballard. If you want to see us live, we are going to be doing our 500th episode, Melbourne, January the 15th, with an after party.
That's right. Then we're in Brisbane, 29th of January, doing Talking Dum Dum after that.
Yes, then we have Adelaide, February the 26th.
That's correct. And then we're in Perth on March the 3rd.
And then, of course, we have our month of Melbourne podcasts, Saturdays in April. You can find all of these tickets at littledumdumclub.com. We will talk to you a little bit more at the end of the episode in Talkin' Dum Dum. But until then, enjoy this great new episode with guests Andy Zaltzman and Tom Ballard.
Hey, lady. Don't you remember, you was my lover, you was my friend.
Hey mates, welcome once again into the Little Dum Dum Club for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dassel, and with me as always, the other half of the program, Carl Chandler.
G'day, dickhead.
Now we've got two very special guests joining us. Please welcome onto the show, Tom Ballard and Andy Zaltzman. Yes!
Hello.
Hello.
The Zaltzman.
I just realised we haven't told you the name of the podcast is the Little Dum Dum Club, so Sorry about that, Andy.
Yeah, a classic one of these episodes where as I'm doing the intro, I'm looking at my feet because I want to see the look on the face of the guest who's doing it for the first time.
We started this podcast when we were 5 years old. So
Yes.
I loved it. I got to what Andy asked before we started. Can you just run me through exactly what is this? And I was like, would love to know the pitch that you give to people.
How
you
were very quickly. It's been going about, 11 years. We started before there's a concept. I was explaining this to you just before. We don't have to... You know, I get you on here to name your favorite town in Hawaii or whatever it is, whatever the angles is these days. We've been to Thailand 3 times with a podcast festival.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We've dragged hundreds of people from Australia and around the world to inexplicably just go to the place I like to go on holiday.
Right. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's good.
You've created it so you guys have an entourage with you wherever you go.
A little bit. Right. Yeah, a little bit. It's a little bit like your podcast, The Bugle, where you satirise the news, except the news is our own fucked lives that we're satirising every week.
Yeah.
We're going, check out this guy. Imagine if he'd done it like this.
Yeah.
But it's not someone who's been on TV.
Right.
It's just us.
Okay,
It's unlike yours, it's like I think people listen to this show feel good about it because they feel better than the host. They're better. They can look down on the host.
Because, I mean, I like to make my audience feel massively inferior to them.
Supreme alpha male. Zaltzman is notoriously high status as a comedian.
I was at your stand-up show last night, and what I was very impressed by was that everyone was there before the show. Unlike a show like ours, where people just walk in whenever they want, because I think kind of maybe because we're first on the stage and then the guests come on afterwards, they think if we just turn up late, we'll just miss those two just by themselves. We'll just get there in time for the guests.
I think what marks Andy's work, you know, I've started The Bugle with John Oliver, one of the greatest satirists of our time, I would argue, and Andy himself, a beloved stand-up comedian who's been accepted by, and really loved, there's a passionate and respect from his fan base
What's
towards Andy's
to this run-up?
And what he does. Mm. And then there's the Dum Dum Club.
Exercise Ballard's had in years.
I'm on my way to the gym, thank you.
Not so much as a run up as a crawl up, but yeah, sure.
And then your audience think you're dumb cunts. We got there.
Like that Andy's show is the first show you've ever experienced where the audience turn up before the guest. You see so little other comedy that you're like, wow, this guy's got a really weird fan base.
No.
The punctual pound is huge in Britain.
I'm at comedy every week. It never happens
People
like that.
People just come in whenever they feel like
But having said that, what I found funny was last night that everyone was there really early, and I was like, wait, and you started the show early. I was like, that never happens. You start the show before you're supposed to start it. Everyone was there just bored, and then I realised, I looked at the ticket, and I'm like, oh, no, I think you guys fucked up. You started half an hour late. That's why everyone was there in time.
Oh, right, okay. So I don't have a punctual crowd.
Yeah,
right.
So it was like, oh, okay, well, I don't have to have any respect for your crowd anymore.
That's good.
I do like that though. Going, I sold 120 tickets. They're all here 10 minutes before it's meant to start. Let's just get this show on the road so we can get home a bit early.
Get this over with.
But that's interesting what Tom said, that you started the show with John Oliver.
Yep.
Now he's gone on to what he's doing now. That's a tip you can take from me and
Tommy.
What is
he doing now, Andy?
I forget.
Yeah. Tip you can take from me and Tommy, don't align yourself with someone that good.
It was a massive error strategically in my career. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know when you started it, you're like, oh, there's a chance this guy's going to pull away from me?
Well, we started doing student gigs together in about the year 2000. And it was pretty hard to see much beyond student gigs at that point, particularly, you know, when you do...
If you do a show
at Huddersfield University, you think, really, there's nowhere else to go from here. I've seen the nadir of the performing arts.
Honestly, who books that?
The student union at Huddersfield University, when we had to beg the student union, I don't know, whoever was running it that night, to switch off the arcade machines that were next to the stage.
Okay.
We were doing the gig.
Tommy's ears have pricked up.
What arcades are we talking?
Well, I can't remember what they were, but he said, oh no, I can't switch them off. They bring in quite a lot of money.
heckled by the sound of someone playing Daytona next to the stage.
Yeah, right.
Great.
And then there was a sort of barrier between... They put the mic on the sort of... I don't know what it was. It was kind of raised bit that had a fence around it. So you were like kind of caged away from a bunch of students who
Blues Brothers style.
In Freshers Week getting hammered. It was truly horrific. So at that point, you know, it's kind of hard to really imagine that one day I'd be sitting in a hotel room in Melbourne with you guys.
Yeah. Well, things could get worse.
That is a good equivalent. You playing in a game where they won't turn off Galaga and this podcast.
This has gone pretty well. Carl, bring out the Pac-Man machine. Let's fire it up for the rest of the pod.
What was involved in the double act? I've never asked you about this. But when you were John, what were you doing? Little characters or satire?
No, not really.
Who's on second?
He was my support act initially on the... I've had some amazing support acts. Russell Howard supported me on the student circuit. John Richardson supported me a bit. I mean, basically, if you perform with Andy Zaltzman, you're destined for fame and fortune. Right. So that's why Tom does the bugle. So, but our sort of double act, so we did a couple of radio series together, and our double act was, I don't know if it was a double act. It was more kind of simultaneous stand-up, if that makes sense. There were kind of sketches in it, but it wasn't a sort of classic double act. It was, it worked pretty well. We did two Edinburgh shows together, and we're just about to do the third one. And John got offered the Daily Show job, so he went off to do the biggest satire show in the world, and I was suddenly doing a solo show instead of a double act show with about 2 or 3 weeks' notice to about 30 people a day in Edinburgh. So it was definitely a fork in our careers.
Was there a conversation at some stage you going, can't you just hold off on that massive US TV show for a couple of weeks?
Not really. I mean, that would be like, you know, if you're in Neil Armstrong's quiz team saying, what do you mean you can't do next Tuesday? That was not really an opportunity he could turn down.
What do you call him on the Bugle again? What are some of the names you've used to refer to?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I mean, yeah, Jackie Showbiz was one, I think. But there's been two. I can't really remember actually.
Old Johnny Late Show or Fuckface or something.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Fuckface.
No, it wasn't Fuckface. No, it's always beloved. Yeah. The bit, you know, it was always rooted in a resounding level of showbiz bitterness that was always very entertaining.
So we're in this game
for
the
guy, but fuck that guy as
I
well.
I like the idea that then you do the solo show that was meant to be a double act,
yes,
and you just haven't rewritten it in any way. So half of it's just pauses. Take it up with Comedy Central if you're not having a good time.
You do his bit. You quickly jump over, put glasses on. You just do the worst stand-up of all time. I make him look terrible.
Could have done that.
Or do your half hour and then just play an episode of The Daily Show.
Yeah.
I did actually... I can't remember what was in the show. Because when I say we were supposed to be doing a two-handed show, we'd been doing radio... Right, we had two radio series that were simultaneously cancelled. But we'd been working on them sort of up to about a month before Edinburgh. So we hadn't really started writing the show yet. Yeah. But it would have been easy to write with two people rather than one. Yeah.
That is fair. To be like, I'm doing a show about the news. I wrote it a year ago.
So I got this a mannequin's head and put a wig on it and some glasses and and pulled it out of a bag. So John, so I went on and told the story that John was supposed to be doing the show, but he said he wanted to go and do this thing in America. But anyway, and then I pulled out his severed head.
Oh, Kathy Griffin style. Yeah. Oh, that's good. So,
but hey, no, but you're living the dream now because you're here in Australia because you are doing a bit of comedy, but more importantly, you're working for the BBC covering the cricket, which is your true love.
Guys, part of my contract of doing this pod was to not mention cricket.
Right.
Man.
You don't have to mention it.
No.
That's the thing. You're obviously a massive cricket head. I'm a massive fan of it. And then we've got two people who probably couldn't spell
it. Could not know less about it.
Yeah. Right.
But you're the guy, right? This is your job now.
Yes.
I thought maybe, because I want to get into it. I kind of like what I see of it. I like I like the general vibe of it. People that I know that are into it seem really into it. They seem really happy. They seem happier than me.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe you could try and you could try and get me. What are some starting points to get me and Tom in?
Well, I think firstly you have to just accept deep in your soul that it's the greatest thing ever invented.
Okay. Right.
Despite all the evidence,
despite the way England play it currently. I think the fascination of it is, particularly the test matches, is it's a sort of perfect form of narrative. And it has all these kind of, it's been described as a game of infinite possibilities. And at the start of a game, there's all these potential things that could happen. And then each ball advances the narrative in some different way. And this spans out sort of epically over 5 days and in the series over 5 or 6 weeks.
It's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like an arcade machine that's plugged in next to a stand-up gig, to be honest.
You can see it sort of like a box set with all kind of sweeping narratives, individual subplots.
So it's like The Wire.
Tommy's quite a big video game player. It's one of those ones that's got a lot of missions and little tasks within it.
Yes.
I think, isn't it?
The players have their own little side quests.
Texting your penis to someone.
Yeah, that's one way of going about it.
That's the Maverick route. Yeah.
What's one of those big role playing games that you play on your little console, Tommy? God,
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, one of them.
All right. Because the people that I know that love it, part of what they say the appeal is, it's like you just kind of have it on, you're just in front of the TV all day, and you just kind of drift in and out.
Well,
you don't even need to pay that much attention to it. And that's a strange positive quality to have.
But so you can choose the extent of your engagement with it.
Right.
So because this narrative is evolving constantly, you can sort of dip in and out of it. And, you know, it sort of just imperceptibly shifts, and then we'll take a fast turn one way or the other. So you can kind of totally immerse yourself in it. But at the same time, you can sort of follow it by checking the score of your 15 minutes.
I mean, that
and it can still
be
quite fascinating. Yes. I'm trying to sell it to you in lots of different ways.
Some of them are working because a friend of mine that's saying that, he's not ending up in your position with a job where he's like flying around the world commentating on it, just going like, sorry, I kind of missed all that. I was just in the group chat fucking around for a minute. But you guys,
now that
at
I would
home,
appreciate. Yeah. It was a cricket commentator going, what's going on? Who's that guy again?
Yeah.
What's the rule of that thing? Yeah, yeah. What's LBW? Yeah.
It should be like Silent Disco. Every broadcaster has two channels where it's like one guy that's massively into what they're commentating and another person watching it for the first time.
One guy say, now explain the offside rule to me again.
Also, I mean, none of that sells it to you. Also, it can involve 8 hours sitting in the sunshine getting drunk.
Yes. You're speaking my language.
I went once with my friend Jeremy to watch a match at the Gabba in Brisbane. And it was, we were just drinking beer. We got very drunk because it was so hot. So it sort of hit you very quickly. And that was
It's a summer
fine.
Sport, so they're beautiful. You're outside.
Sure.
It's summer.
But then a woman walked up an aisle and all the men around me started chanting tits out for the boys.
Right.
And I thought, this is not my place.
And this was at your solo show, did you say? Or where was this?
This is at...
Oh, at the cricket.
At the cricket, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily cricket's problem so much as society's problem. Yeah.
No, the I cricket, the sport.
The cricket made them.
Yes.
The cricket made them. Cricket, they'd all be out there respecting women.
The men on the pitch didn't even stop the game to call it out. Disgraceful behaviour.
Cancelled. Cricket is cancelled.
The men on the pitch.
But you have cricket stats from the 1970s in your head, right?
And the 1870s as well. That's
so crazy.
But that's the thing. So your job on this tour and on tours like this is statistician.
Yes. I do that for BBC Radio cricket coverage.
Now that must be... Look, a dream come true given that you come out to and you involve yourself so deeply in it, but also given that you're doing the stats on England getting their ass absolutely kicked. It must be pretty brutal to go, fuck, now I have to examine every little detail of how bad we are at cricket.
Yeah,
like, I love listening to soccer podcasts, but if we lose, I'm skipping that.
Yeah,
week.
I mean, I guess it's sort of like, you know, doing a, you know, post mortem on your favourite dog.
Yes, there we go.
Sometimes. But, you know, it doesn't make me love the dog any less.
Yes, but, right. Yeah,
little
okay.
snuffles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going quite badly.
Is it going badly, Tom. Right, yes.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. But
okay, so England are doing badly. Okay, now this could get me in.
You're right, okay.
England
yes.
get thrashed.
Well, so that's, you know, yeah, it's a great vehicle for Australian triumphalism as well.
Yep. All right. You know. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting in. I'm so getting nice. Interested.
Yeah. But being that nerdy about sport.
Yeah.
I mean, it is two worlds colliding, isn't it? Do you ever feel like flushing your own head down the toilet?
I mean, metaphorically, maybe. Not often, literally. But yeah,
it is. I mean, you must take. I mean, obviously, you would take your home, your work home with you. Is there like heaps and heaps to do?
Well, in terms of prep for cricket stats, well, yes. I mean, there's sort of.
Is it the ultimate? And like stat sports?
I'm not sure the ultimate one, but it's up there. I don't think it's quite as stats heavy as baseball.
Oh, that was the only other one I thought, yeah.
But it's close, and there's sort of, you know, there's almost as many stats as you want there to be.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, if you stick it through a spreadsheet, you can make up new ones as well. It's amazing.
I love sports movies still. I can still really enjoy it. I'm not a big sports fan, obviously, but I really love Moneyball, and I find all that kind of world interesting. I just don't want to watch the actual blow-by-blow match. Like, yeah. I like the narrative and the story of someone like an underdog rising up and winning, and that's fine. Yeah. Do you think, could you Moneyball a cricket team? Could you go through the stats?
Yeah, people do that, particularly in sort of shorter forms of cricket. And, you know, my abiding passion is the one that takes the longest, because that gives me the longest distraction from other forms
your
of
children.
Reality and responsibility.
Do you think the Big Bash stuff is like trash? Is that like McDonald's of cricket?
To an extent it is, but at the same time it's become quite a sort of technically detailed and sophisticated game, and the sort of Moneyball strategies do apply in that, and teams do use that. Maybe not quite to the same extent as baseball, but it is becoming more and more prominent, certainly.
Does the BBC give you any leeway, given you're a comedian and you're doing the stats? Do they let you round anything up to 69?
They positively encourage it.
Go on, what's your craziest cricket stat? Because you do know all this shit from the 19th century and like all the longest match and all that kind of stuff.
Right. I don't know the craziest one.
Well, you know what? I was impressed by...
In the context of cricket. I'll
right.
What I was impressed by was that you did Mastermind in the UK and you picked your specialist subject was Victor Trumper, which A, was an Australian cricketer out of all the people you could have picked, but B, I thought, as a comedian, picking a guy called Trumper, good move.
Well, I mean, I think if you are a proper cricket nerd, then Victor Trump is one of the most fascinating players of all time.
And also, we don't have that word here, but in the UK, Trump means to
break wind.
Yes.
Yeah.
we just idolise this guy over here called, oh, Victor Trump, what a player. And in the UK, you're like, fucking hell, can you believe they have a guy they think's good called this?
Yes. So, well, I mean, I was going to do, you know, the entire history of Test cricket, but they said, can you narrow it down? And I said, okay, I'll do pre-war Test cricket. And they said, can you pick one player? So I think their researchers just couldn't really be after
that. I've done that job before, and that's exactly what was happening.
So I picked Victor Trumper.
What should I know about Victor Trumper?
Well, Tom, you should know that, other than that, died tragically young.
But they all do back then.
Yes, buried in Waverley Cemetery in Sydney in the lovely view over the sea, which he enjoys on a daily basis.
Beard?
No doubt. One of the first cricketers to provoke sort of an artistic response to the game in terms of how it was written about and how people watched it. And one of the first Australian national superstars died, and his will, his estate was valued at £5 because he had a sport shop and used to give kit away to kids if they asked nicely. So everyone loved him, and he died tragically young. So he's this kind of figure from the kind of pre-mass media golden age that's sort of shrouded in this golden glow.
What year are we talking about?
So he played for Australia from 1899 until up to just before the First World War.
What do you think could be in your head instead of those stats?
Well, probably something that could make me a fuck of a lot more money. You know, if all the numbers from cricket I had were numbers to do with, say, stock markets, yeah, then, you know, I'd probably be living in the flat above John in Manhattan. But,
love that.
You could get into match fixing. Seems like you know enough of the stats.
Oh, shit. I mean, I probably shouldn't really say that on anything recorded, but not really my game, to be honest, Tommy.
I know about this crazy, cause in the 1890s or 1880s, was the Aboriginal cricket team.
That was 1868. It was the first Australian touring team to go to England was an Aboriginal team.
All Aboriginal team, which is insane. Yeah. I think that's pretty weird. And I also know that Don Bradman was an asshole. He's very cheap.
Well, look, I don't know. I've heard different reports.
Don't you
about
say
him.
Anything about it, Don.
I look at the stats, Tom. Numerically, I can't prove it one way or the other.
There's a story of him, like, they won something, and then he didn't shout. He never shouted everybody. You know, he's supposed to everybody, you do the rounds and stuff.
Look, you get someone that great at something and everyone can't wait to pull them down on something. It's, you know, they look perfect and so someone's got to find something. I cop this all the time.
We had a great gig. Chandler didn't even shout us all dinner. Yeah. Disappointing stuff. Really disappointing. I do have, I've got a personal link to the Boxing Day test. When I was in high school, late high school, I think it was like 17, there was a, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's an ex-cricketer and he did like a fundraising thing for a foundation that my dad was on the board of, and he walked from, I believe it was from Sydney to Melbourne. Ooh. And the final leg of it was he was like walking around the grounds of the MCG like before the test kicked off on Boxing Day. So I did like the final leg of it with him and I walked like with him behind him like around the perimeter of the MCG before the Boxing Day test. Come out like huge pressure. Got a lot of my family's there watching. Got a lot of mates who are there watching. They're like kind of, you know, they're like looking down on the ground like, oh, there he is. I come out and because it's being filmed, there's like a news camera like in front of us, like kind of, you know, walking backwards. And there's like a long cord kind of like stretching out as we're walking. And I stack over the cord and eat shit in front of an entire MCG. Yes. I think that might have been my first comedy gig, actually. I think that was just before I started stand-up. I was like, wow.
And a lot of guys going, get your tits out.
But then just being like, maybe no one saw. And then just like checking my phone afterwards and like dozens of texts from mates in the crowd gone.
Play
like,
of the day.
Good one, fuckhead. Yeah. So, yeah. Awesome. Maybe that's why I've cricket's at arms length to me. It's like traumatic memories when I walked on.
What about every other sport, though?
I mean, they all take place in kind of a similar environment. Right, so right, it's just kind of...
Easily triggered.
It was in a sporting ground. Okay, yeah. The MCG.
Yeah, sure.
Well, look, now that we've punished all of our audience, we're talking that much about cricket, let's just glide away from that. You know what I was going to say? So do you live in London?
Yes.
Yes, right. So we went there before all the nastiness, and we were there, 3 years ago maybe now, something like that. Mm-hmm. I want to bring this up now. You know, England and London have a reputation of being bad food.
Right.
What do you think about that? I think they get a bad rap. I think maybe things have changed.
I think things have changed. I mean, London, there's pretty much every food you could possibly want from all around the world. I think the reputation of England for food, Britain for food, probably predates Britain becoming such a sort of multi-ethnic society.
Right.
When, you know, our foodstuffs were largely grey.
now that there's Brexit, is that back? Is it just back to Marmite?
I think we are going back
now,
to just mushed up vegetables and
mushy peas.
The sort of connective tissue of long dead goats, which is what made Britain great in the first place.
Right.
So I think that reputation was hard.
Flesh from Polish workers
was hard won over centuries in which people ate sort of pulses and mud.
Pulses.
So it's quite hard. It's hard to shift a reputation, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, look, I in the week or two that we were there, I have to say two things stood out to me. I've talked about them on the show before, but the quality of sandwiches in chemists and supermarkets and newsagents is excellent.
Right. Okay, I'm sure there must be some kind of international index that ranks countries. Like you have the Big Mac index for
exactly.
You know, prices.
Yeah,
the quality of Sandwiches from chemists.
Yes.
Yes.
You guys are excellent. Yeah. Ours, you think the reputation of Australia is great food, and people think that, I don't know, we eat shellfish for breakfast every day or something. Yeah. But our sandwich in Servos and Woolworths and stuff are fucking shithouse.
Right. You're not talking about like Pret a Manger or whatever.
No. I'm talking about W.H. Smith and... And right. What's the other one?
Boots.
Excellent sandwiches.
I would say excellent might be overstating things, but really? Certainly possible.
You go out and get a sandwich here, right, at Coles or at Coles Express or something like that, and then come back and talk to me.
Don't lie. Okay. Andy's tearing up. He's getting homesick. He's talking about
just what a half decent sandwich.
Yeah, you are winning the sandwich ashes. Believe me. Yeah.
Not even going to a service the quality of our service station sandwich is no good, but to speak of the quality of our chemist sandwiches, non-existent.
The
only food you're getting in a chemist is some jelly beans. Yeah. Right. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, they are a notoriously medicinal substance, the jelly bean. They can cure 90% of all known diseases if you use them right. Yeah. You just got to know where to put them.
I did wonder why you guys did have sandwiches in chemists to start with, but then once I ate one, I was like, well, I do feel better.
Yes,
these are excellent. Yes.
This jelly bean sandwich is
good. Yeah, those two can be brought together, then... This whole crisis would be over.
And your muffins.
Yes.
Another thing that I judge countries by.
Right.
Your muffins are very, very moist, and they have the, like, you know, moist chocolate in the middle.
Right.
Here, very dry muffins in Australia.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a hotter country, isn't it? I mean, it's just generally damp in the United Kingdom.
But so you're going, the reputation of food in the UK gets a bad rap. It's really, really good. Imagining you moving to UK and all you do is just eat from chemists and just muffins.
Well, that's
your
sort of what
diet.
I did do. Right.
Yeah, that's not far away from what you do here as well. Pizza for lunch, followed by a chocolate bar, followed by not eating until the next day.
That's the plan today.
Travel really broadens the mind. Do you have an Australian delicacy that you particularly enjoy, Andy?
I like this kind of sushi rolls that you get everywhere.
Traditional Australian. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what would be an Australian, like a traditional Australian?
Have you eaten kangaroo?
I haven't. I'm not sure I have, actually.
We've been a vegetarian, eh?
No, I'm not vegetarian.
I would have eaten kangaroo twice in my life.
Really? Yeah.
Like, it's not a thing that we have in the tuck shop or whatever here.
Sure. You can't get it at a chemist.
No, exactly.
You can get beef kangaroo jerky at a lot of airports, which I would not recommend.
I think there's a place in Chinatown where you can eat crocodile.
Right.
Would you do that?
I mean, in some
ways... And he's a Jew who eats pork, so... he's up for it.
Very lapsed, very lapsed. I don't know where crocodile stands in the...
God, walking into chemist warehouse and just seeing a crocodile sandwich in the aisle. That's when you'd know that we've really caught up to the world standard.
Just logically, you'd think, you know, if something can eat you, you should be able to eat it as a defence mechanism. Yeah. So, I mean, I see this, you know, problem with, in terms of the evolutionary race...
Yeah.
Which, you know, with the end of the world seemingly closer and closer, we've got to maintain our position at the top. So, you know, eating the opposition is probably quite a good,
good strategy at this
point. It is
Does that extend to human beings? surely our fellow humans will become the opposition very shortly.
That's what Army Hammer was doing. Got to stay at the top.
Logic holds up in Darwin, maybe. It's like, well, you got to eat them because otherwise, but like, there's not a lot of crocodiles in Bourke Street Mall.
That's why it's called Darwin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the obvious thing is you go there, there's not a lot of people that look like they're following the evolution.
Hey!
There we go.
Comedy.
Yeah. Yep.
Andy, we were talking before about the cricket. Like, as I said, as has been brought up a few times already, my a huge interest in my life is video games.
Right.
So I was thrilled to find out that you, a version of your podcast is in a video game.
Oh,
yes.
You've done that. You're the radio station. You're like an option that people can listen to in a game called Watch Dogs
Leisure
Legion.
Suit Larry. What?
Yes.
People can fuck Andy Zaltzman as Leisure Suit Larry.
They can buy condoms off Andy. Wow.
Gig's a gig.
What's the video game, sorry?
It's called Watch Dogs. Right. It's a franchise, and it's basically like when you're driving around, you can listen to different podcasts, and yours is one of them.
Yeah, I've not played it. I don't really play video games, but the concept of the game is it's set in a sort of hypothetical near future London where everything has gone to shit. Now,
muffins are like bland, and sandwiches are shit. You know,
positively arid. And you know, many of the sandwiches barely even have a slice of cucumber in it. It's quite tragic.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see it as a satire on a predictive satire on Brexit. I don't know if they intended it as that, but yeah. So when you're driving in your car, you can tune in to a version of the Bugle. So it's me and Alice Fraser, who's a regular co-host on the Bugle, and we called it The Bug, and it was satirizing the hypothetical government within the computer game. So we were sort of, yeah, they gave us all this information about the, you know, the premise and the backstories and things, and so we wrote these, I can't remember, seven or eight little micro podcasts.
This dystopian future where the only thing to listen to is podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrifying stuff.
Also, now you do satire. Now that's the satire that speaks to me. That's like a Mad Magazine satire. Turning the Bugle into the Bug. That's classic. Classic Alfred E. Newman
the
work.
The Spugle.
Oh, that's better. Nice, that's nice better. Like that. The Oogle.
Have you played it?
I haven't played it, right. No, but I read that last night, and it really did, like, not knowing you, it sort of reeked to me of the kind of job that you do where you don't really even end up knowing how it's been used. I was like, I reckon this guy came in and recorded a few lines and doesn't really know what context it's being
put
into.
Finds out it's a strip poker game with Samantha Fox and he's ultimate.
No, we were briefed reasonable detail about it, and some quite a few comments from Bugle listeners on Twitter who sort of just came across.
Did people not know until they were playing it and then driving around? Yeah. They're like, wow, that is cool. I mean, there's a lot of video games where that is a thing, where they're like, when you get into a car, there's like licensed music, there's like radio stations, and they'll employ like comedians and stuff to be the hosts of the radio station as you're driving around. That is an ultimate dream for me.
Well, I mean, the last time I really played video games was on an Amstrad 464 in the 1980s, so I imagine they've come on a bit.
What comedians were doing the voiceovers in that one?
Is there any podcast in Ghosts and Goblins back there?
Yeah. If we could just kill this podcast and restart it as a radio station in the new Donkey Kong, that would be the dream. If that was the only way to get this content behind the ultimate paywall, an $80 video game.
I'd be surprised if there was room for podcasts in the world of Donkey Kong, because the news would just be there's a fucking giant monkey like bashing the shit out of everything, wouldn't there be?
His bananas get stolen and all that, so we could kind of riff on that. There's like a little Diddy Kong. He'd be up to some scrapes.
What was going on with the government in the because Alice Fraser also had another podcast in the world of the Bugle, in the Bugle family, that was in a parallel universe where he had to do satire. I did a few episodes of that, and I'll be honest, it was a fucking nightmare, right? I couldn't keep track of every crazy thing that had happened in the parallel universe, but then we were also really trying to satire stuff that was happening here, but also in the parallel. It was a fucking nightmare. So what was happening in the world of the Bug that the Bug was talking about?
Oh, yeah. In the dystopian Watch Dogs world, is there a John Oliver that left the Bug?
He's now, he's just selling arms to Saudi Arabia. It's very much the subtext of Last Week Tonight, I think. There were various sort of huge sort of corporate interests in it. It was a couple of years ago that we recorded it. I can't quite remember the exact details, but there were, you know, the government was sort of corrupt, if you could imagine that. and there was a sort of, without wishing to be libelous, a Murdochian type character involved as well. But I can't quite remember. But it was, we did go into quite a lot of detail, and yeah, it was quite fun to do, actually.
We should get, because what you can do with games that are on the PC, people like, there's all this community where people will like mod games. So like, they'll be like, oh, you can, you know, we took this game and this Zelda game, and now all of a sudden you can play as Goku from Dragon Ball Z, or like Thomas the Tank Engine is in this like medieval, you know, fantasy game or whatever.
Yeah.
So we had someone hit us up about making a video game of the Little Dum Dum Club. There would be people who listen to this who know how to mod video games.
Right.
If someone can mod like Grand Theft Auto
to
put us in as a radio station, now that would be good.
That would explain why there's been a lot of murders in that game. If they're listening to us,
they would contextualise it a bit more.
But there's interesting facts about Grand Theft Auto. The first one came out in about 1997, I think, and there's what be now six, seven different versions. And certainly in Britain, the rates of violent crime and road deaths has come down significantly.
Okay.
So
people are,
you know,
using...
let's draw a causal connection between those two.
So people are playing that game and going, this game sucks, I'm going to call off my murder I was going to do
I
later.
Think it's more giving people an outlet.
Oh, right, okay. You know. Right.
Like, I mean, since chess was invented, fewer people have moved their castles.
And he's also satirist for hire, everybody.
Now, was that a stat that you just came across organically, or was that somehow linked into the world of cricket that you were like, oh, okay, I'm finding out stuff about the rest of the world?
I don't know the impact of Grand Theft Auto on cricket. Yeah. Be quite,
there you go. You've got to draw a line between.
Certainly England have done less well in Australia since Grand Theft Auto was launched, but I don't know where... You know, there wasn't their body line in 1932-33, for example. No yeah. computer games at all.
Hey,
so maybe
too soon. It's still still a bit sore down here. Yeah. Talking about
that. So it's insensitive. What,
now, there's the body lining one, and then there's the underarm thing. Are these two
They're very different.
They're two very separate scandals.
Maybe the absolute opposite of each other.
Okay.
One is a scandal about aiming balls at your head, and one is about basically aiming the ball at your foot.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And they're different, are they?
They're bit,
in the world
I don't
of
know
cricket.
If you know that much about cricket, but head and foot are different. Yeah.
Doesn't come up that much.
Yeah.
The body lining was against England.
Yes.
And that's when they bowled a ball at the head.
They dared to bowl the ball near your head and scare you from hitting the ball.
Ooh, very scary.
Mm. I know less about cricket than Tom Ballard. This is a real wake-up call.
Huge claim.
This is a real wake-up call for me.
And then the underarm was with New Zealand.
Yes.
And Australia bowled a bowl underarm.
Yes, to stop them hitting a six.
Which was very unsportsmanlike.
There was one ball to go in the entire innings, and if they needed to hit a six to win, so they made sure they could not possibly hit a six by rolling the ball along the ground like a baby.
Oh,
yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Is this a
but we won.
Oh, okay.
Is that something?
How is that told in the legends of cricket? Is that like quite shameful?
Bad.
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Right, okay. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. No, of course. It's like that's why the term sportsmanship exists. Like, it's like we want to win, but you don't want to win it in the worst fucking possible way.
And to put
it
in context, the New Zealand player who faced the ball got so angry that he threw his bat in disgust.
Yeah.
And they're a pretty placid country. Yeah, so when that really puts it in. I mean, they'd lost the 2019 World Cup final in the most ridiculously unjust circumstances and just kind of smiled and said, "We've had a lovely day." So,
yeah, they copped a sweet, didn't they?
Which I thought was, I mentioned this in the gig last night, I thought was absolutely appalling. For those of us who've devoted our lives to sport as a distraction from reality, we want to see people crushed by defeat, not taking it on the chin.
I feel like, yes, sometimes the mystique of sport is cracked and someone goes, it's just a game.
No,
my life.
Yeah. Don't say that.
I hate everything else. This is it.
Everything's pointless. Why do anything?
And on top of everything else, when there's anything between Australia and New Zealand, they've finally got something on us. Like, they had nothing on us before, and now they get to say, you did the underarm thing. And it's like, yeah, fucking all right, we did. We actually did do that one, yeah.
They've got a few other things on
us. What have they got?
The fact that we send back a whole bunch of their citizens, even though they've been born and raised in this country and then become criminals, and then we say, you're a Kiwi now, even though you've lived here since you're nine.
Yeah, a bit
fuck
too
off back to New Zealand.
Bit too long for me. underarm, fuckhead. So there you go, nice and punchy. Yeah.
Andy, so this is the last podcast of the show for the year, and we're heading into a new year. We always like to kind of look ahead and kind of do bigger and better things with the podcast every year. We've had a lot of fantastic guests on over the years, including now Andy Zaltzman. But I was wondering if we could maybe...
Oh, you're still here.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
You're sort of third co-host at this point.
Oh, God.
Something that I thought we could maybe get your help with. You know, we've had a lot of great people on. There's a few white whales out there that we've never been able to get on the show.
Right.
And coming up, we have an engagement in Adelaide, South Australia, where we're doing the podcast directly before, in the same room, directly before the solo show of a friend of yours, as I understand it, Daniel Kitson.
All right.
Now, what better way to kick off 2022 than by landing one of the biggest white whales you can hope to track down in broadcasting? Right.
One of the hottest names of 1999 as well. So, yeah.
A man who famously does not want to ever have his voice on record.
Oh, yes.
A man who one time we were at the steps of Town Hall and me and you were standing next to him and you said, hey, Daniel, I'd love to have you on the podcast tomorrow. And he said, Absolutely not.
But he's going to be in the same room. He'll be watching us do the show from backstage. He'll be
We're actually literally right behind, right before him in that venue.
We're probably going to run over and delay the start of his show.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, is there any advice you can give us to sweeten the deal?
Do you play football with him?
Football with him, but that doesn't generally lead to podcast appearances.
No.
But there is a relationship. He's a great guy, and but he's very much someone who makes his own decisions. Right. So I can ask. But it might very well be another absolutely not.
Yeah,
but
it probably will. He's got a cave sometime.
But you play in a football team, in a comedian's football team in London, and the same as that I do.
In London.
Sorry. I'd like to.
That's why you're going to Thailand all the time. It's on the way to London to play in this football game. Yes.
It's half time. there's usually like a UK players versus local players in the comedy festival here. There is a Melbourne comedians team. I'm seen maybe slightly unfairly, maybe slightly fairly as the aggro one down here. The one that's yelling at not only the opposition but teammates.
Right.
Probably more at teammates.
Do you play in a league or do you just play against each other?
In a league,
Because in London we just play whoever can turn up on a Tuesday afternoon against each other.
Oh, right.
And it's really more about Kitson's banter than the football.
Right.
You got to wear a wire under your kit and record him and then release it as a pod.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not sure that would be, in the current climate, I don't think that would be a wise thing for anyone to do.
I did kind of do. Have I ever told you this Kitson story of Kitson? I'm obsessed with Kitson, and he released a bunch of shitty recordings of his stand-up shows on his website, and they were like terrible quality. And so I downloaded them all and like just used the radio technology that I had access to at the time to bump up the quality, just so you can hear everything a lot more. A lot more clearly, and then put that on my website, being like, hey, for other Kitson fans, if you want to hear this clearly, here it is. And he contacted my management and asked me to take it down.
That is insane. What are you turning TomBallard.com into the Pirate Bay? What are you doing?
He gave it away for free.
Yeah.
He put it out there for free, so I thought, well, this is terrible quality, Daniel, you fool.
I'm with Kitson. I'm calling your management right now.
There is a lot of insanity happening in that story.
I charged $5, okay? to profit from
Did you claim it was you speaking as well?
Hey, guys.
Here's my
Tried out some new material.
Hi,
this new stutter bit.
I'm good gay.
Carl Chandler, it's Christmas.
That is one of the most audacious things I've ever heard. That is truly wild.
Am I the bad guy in that story?
There's two, not bad guy, but two dumb guys.
Yes,
there's two dumb things happening.
That's
there, isn't there? Did he take umbrage at that just because it was coming from the wrong place, or that because he wanted it purposely shithouse quality? Or
I don't know. Who knows the workings of the minds of Daniel Kitson?
Have you talked to him about it since?
No. And we've become... And that was like... This is before I had any kind of friendship with him.
Know him at the time. Okay.
No, I didn't know. I was just a fan, really.
So someone ratted you out. Someone's gotten the recordings off your site and emailed hello at Daniel Kitson and gone, oh, Tom Ballard's actually releasing his own version of
my own. No. Yeah, he's gone, yeah, hey, you should download the new versions of your show over at TomBallard.com. It's way better than your dog shit version.
I think my understanding is that Daniel Kitson regularly Googles searches his own name.
Okay.
He's all Mr. Cool, or I'm not on Twitter, and then searching Twitter quite regularly for Daniel Kitson feedback.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so if we want him on the show in Adelaide, we need to not book you for it. Okay, that's good to know.
Well, we're quite friendly now. I beat him in pool once. It was the greatest day of my life. But
famous pool hustler, Daniel Kitson.
He really loves pool.
Right? He does. He had, until recently, he had a table in his house.
Okay.
Confirmed.
Yeah. So who's the aggro players of football?
I'm not at liberty to divulge.
Really?
You swore that blood oath, didn't you? That's part of Tuesday afternoons.
I'm not sure. Not too much aggro. That's not me, no.
Do Ant and Deck ever go fucking mental?
Jimmy Carr out there, give it a few headbutts.
There has been a theory that comedians who specialise in one-liners are more selfish footballers than, say, storytelling comedians.
Ooh.
I don't know. I think there needs to be a scientific study.
That's a fascinating link. Mm. Do you think the parallel is?
Delve into the psychology of that.
That's a real shame because I do a lot of one-liners. Really? But I'd like to think that as I've gotten older, I've become more generous on the field. Look, I hold everyone to a certain standard, but I'm not hogging the ball.
Right.
Which is, which is something. Mainly because I've lost all my speed and I just sit the back and
Well, as they say, first 25 yards are in the head.
Yeah. I'm the puppet master at the back. I'm yelling at everyone, getting them to do the things my legs no longer do.
Yeah, the yelling is the most important thing in football.
So yes, thank
on
you.
And off the pitch.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Totally.
So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, by the time this comes out, it will be after Christmas. But yeah, Christmas as we're recording this is in a couple of days. I'm hosting Christmas at my house for the first time.
Congratulations. Thank you. What are you getting paid for that? Is that a good gig?
Who books that? Yeah. I got mum and dad coming around. It was just going to be small theme, me and my girlfriend, mum and dad. And then now my girlfriend's family are coming too, so her sister and brother-in-law and their little kid. And, you know, a lot of pressure for the... I want everything to go perfect. I want the food to be good. I want the atmosphere to be good.
What's the most magical day? It's celebrating the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Isn't that right, Andy? Would you like to say a few words, actually, about that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the lad did a terrific job.
Right. And then what happened? Then what did your people do?
Well, they found him guilty of certain technical infractions. And applied the letter of the law at the time. So, you know.
Fair enough. Go on.
So what's the menu?
Menu is ham, a glazed ham, a chicken, and some stuffing.
Yep.
And then
I'm more interested in the vegetables.
Couple of salads.
I said vegetables.
Salad.
What? You're roasting vegetables, though, aren't you?
Wasn't planning to.
Are you not having any vegetables?
Wasn't planning to.
Are you kidding? Is this Christmas we're talking about?
You eat pizza for lunch every day.
No, I don't.
I'm just buying a few servo sandwiches for my Christmas wedding.
Roast chicken.
Well, you can. I mean, at this time of year, you can get all manner of Christmas-based sandwiches in all manner of chemist shops in Britain.
Oh, yes, you can too.
What a magical place.
It is. It's a fairy country, like an Elysium
I'm
of
legitimately perfection. Jealous. They have, like,
I'll send one over next year.
Yes.
I'll pop it in the post.
They don't even, like, honestly, I have to try so hard to even find a chicken and mayo sandwich in any of the servos and supermarkets around here. Like, that's your absolute, literally your bread and butter over there.
It's just what all these protests have been about recently. It's nothing to do with the vaccine.
I think it's a big part of the new UK-Australia free trade deal.
Yeah, we'll be sending over chicken sandwiches.
We'll be sending sandwiches back and forth and muffins or whatever.
That are just rank by the time they get here. Yummy.
Yeah. And sandwiches are like a warm weather food, I think. It should be like
all right, over here. We get it. Get back to dummy story.
Okay, let's get back to me being mad at another thing. The fucking vegetables.
Yeah, I'm happy to keep talking about sandwiches if it keeps my kitchen out of the firing line. No, we've never had even at mum and dad's, it's never been a roast veggie day.
Really?
In the Daslow household.
That is insane, and Carl is right to be outraged.
Thank you. I think that's the first time you've ever said that about me.
Yeah. This is the one point in which I'll agree with Carl. Right. You've never had roasted veggies for Christmas lunch?
No. Nah.
Extraordinary.
But, I can institute it. I've still got a couple of days.
It's all in your power. You can create new traditions.
Yes. Doing the food shop.
If this is your first Christmas at your house, this is the start of the Institute right now.
Yeah.
Start of the Institute.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The Institute of Christmas Vegetables.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Go on.
Start my own traditions.
Yes.
We watch Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
And then we watch it again with the commentary where they're all in character. Merry Christmas, everyone. But I want the day to go perfect, right? I went out yesterday and I bought a bunch of stuff for the day, including I bought some bonbons, some Christmas crackers.
Right.
And that's stressing me out a lot because this should be a thing on the box. You should be able to get, you know, they go, they've all got like a little toy and a joke inside.
Mm-hmm.
But they never include on the box what's actually, you know, what the toys are or what the jokes are. You can't get a flavor.
Oh, you want to know what the jokes are.
So I've got with me, I've got some bonbons from this packet that I bought.
Oh,
and I thought,
shit.
We can bring out the jokes.
Yeah.
And if they're no good, we've got some great comic minds in this room.
Okay.
And me and Carl.
Do we not have to guess the punchline? You give us a setup and we have to guess
the punchline. Well, we can punch them up. Right? Oh, right? If they're no good, I want everyone to have a great... I want people to be pulling the bonbons and actually having a good laugh at the quality of the jokes. Yep. You know, I want to make sure everyone's having a good time.
All right. Now, I will warn you that Andy's ultimate is quite partial to a pun, which... Carl Chandler hates, but it's very popular at Christmas. What's your general relationship to Christmas as a Jewish man?
Well,
do your kids want to get into it, or is this just another world?
No, they love. I mean, it's largely a non-religious festival these
days.
Yes,
totally.
Anyway, so brought up lapsed Jew, so we always had Christmas as a sort of family.
Oh, okay.
Thing, that would be funny, given that you're saying you're a little bit lapsed, and it's like, I just eat pork, but my kids are not having Christmas.
That's the one bit when I must call on the traditions of my people.
Well, I did a few years ago now, when they were still a bit smaller than they are now. I found some, I can't remember if I told this story in the Bugle recently, I found this chocolate cake in the freezer, it's sort of like months old, and I sculpted it into a shape and put it on the roof of the car outside the house. And then Christmas morning, open the curtains and say to the kids, "Oh, you won't believe what the reindeers have done to the car." And I think that was the high point of my parenting career.
Andy!
Totally.
The reindeer shat on the car. Yeah. Oh, what a wonderful time of year.
Don't all right. Take bite marks out of the cookies and say Santa did it. Just put a big old dump on your car.
Or just take a shit in the living room. Look what Santa did. Dad!
He's an animal.
Yeah. This is why we're Jewish.
Okay, so I've got a couple out here ready to go.
Can I say this very quickly? That my first ever solo comedy festival show, for some reason... This was the thought going on in my head back then. This is what I did. I did the show, and because I did a lot of one-liners, I put my jokes into Christmas crackers and then gave them to people on the way out.
Incredible.
The show wasn't anywhere near Christmas.
No. In April.
It was in April.
Sit on this.
And
one Christmas cracker that everyone in the family can fight over in 8 months' time.
Yes, and then gave them jokes that I'd just done in my show. So when they opened them, they were like, "Oh, yeah, I heard that 10 minutes ago."
Right. And not like a... Because they're like... The bonbon joke is like what do you call?
Yeah.
No format of that. Just
No.
I was in a cafe.
Just stuff that they'd heard literally 10, 15 minutes beforehand. Where they're like...
And did you ever hear from anyone who wheeled them out on Christmas Day?
No, I just saw a lot of them on the floor outside the venue after the show.
But... I think that was when I was like sort of maybe first getting to know you and coming to say hi before your show. And you're just in the green room frantically just like stuffing these bits of paper into a box of bonbons that you'd just bought from the reject shop around the corner.
Yeah, and you know what? Surprisingly hard to find bonbons in April as well. So that was a lot of time put into finding
them. The ones you did, though, real cheap.
Did you take out the existing jokes in there and then replace them with your own?
I had to reprogram the bonbons. Yeah.
And then, you modded the bonbons. And then reading the odd one and going, like, actually better than what I'm putting in.
I'll keep that.
I might actually put that in my show now. Swap them over.
Yeah. Was duck sandwich ever in one of the bonbons?
Duck sandwich is not. No.
Okay, this is pre-duck sandwich. Long, okay, interesting.
Right. Okay.
Right, go on. Lay it on us.
All right, let's. What do you think of this one? What do you get if you cross a fish and two elephants?
Now, look, classic setup. I mean, if only we were allowed to get away with this setup these days.
What do you get?
Yeah.
Just getting up on stage. G'day, folks. Great to be here. Now. Yeah.
An investigation from the people who run your laboratory.
That's good.
What were the two items again?
What do you get if you cross a fish and two elephants?
Fish and two elephants.
Two elephants.
Like maybe a fish that's surely got to be fucking remembered by someone. You know?
Okay. The world's most remembered fish.
Well, not most remembered.
That is the answer to that
joke. Because there's two elephants.
Yeah.
So they're both never forgetting.
Yeah.
The world's most remembered fish.
I like that. The
I'm telling you what, I've read the answer, and what I just said, better than the actual joke. Right.
Go on.
Two elephants and one fish.
Elephants and one fish. Now, I'll tell you that the quantity of elephants is key.
Is key.
Right. Oh, okay.
What a great... This would make a great quiz show.
Yeah.
Contestants
so, a pair of... We got pair... Is the word pair involved in the answer?
It is not.
Oh.
All right.
Two elephants.
Elephants known to have I mean, I don't even think is that an actual thing that elephants have great memories, or is that just like sometime they saw an elephant once, like a year apart, and it sort of vaguely came up to them and went, "Fuck, they remembered. What a memory on that thing."
Yeah, that's like, how science works.
Yeah, but isn't that?
I forget. I do think it's apocryphal. The fish thing is also apocryphal. Someone recently, in the past couple of years, disproved the fact that fish only have 5-second memories. You know that.
Really?
Yeah, that's not true either. But
they do drink to forget.
Satirist for hire.
Well, I'll tell you that the scientific facts of the animal kingdom do not play a part in this bonbon.
Okay.
It's a wordplay thing, I assume.
It's hard because you always do like that first Christmas cracker of the day, and then from that you work out the baseline of the quality of joke that you're going to be getting from the other bonbons. You know?
Do you think they're deliberately shit? Every Christmas, my family's quite cynical generally, but every Christmas I involve, people get out the jokes, they read out the jokes, and everyone just groans. It goes. Basically, I feel like we're all bonding, saying "fuck the cunts who wrote these terrible jokes."
Right. Yeah, and I think maybe people have a lot of stress about Christmas Day is going to be this like kind of awful experience and a bit irritating or whatever. And then you read a bad joke and it kind of puts it all into perspective. It's like, well, Grandpa's racist story is sort of it's slightly better than reading this rot, I guess.
Yeah, and also if we can do this, it'll take off time from talking about the vaccine. So let's
absolutely.
But also, I mean, it's a scientific thing. Like, if you do a pun, even people that like puns, you would know if you're doing them. People are like, "Oh, I like this," but you can't help yourself but do that noise. Yeah.
All right. Well,
yes. I think during your pun runs, famously in the Bugle, Andy does very funny pun runs, which I despise with every fibre of my being. But yes, it is a weird mix of like genuine joy in the pun and a hatred that's taking place. Would that be fair?
And even in like setup jokes, in short setup jokes, you know, people have that thing in them where they groan or they have a negative connotation towards that, or at least in my experiences that's what I find.
Yeah. So,
people always boo a joke of any kind, whatever it is.
Even when I get up and say hi and they say fuck off and throw
something
things.
Something about jokes that just make people storm out of whatever room they're in en masse and demand refunds.
Not buy tickets. Yeah.
Alright, okay. What do you get if you cross...
Have you got anything, Ballard? Anything
a fish
at all?
And two elephants.
A fish and two elephants. Oh,
you've got to have something.
Fishy, fishy, double Dumbo.
Alright, okay. Great. No, the answer is a cross between a fish and two elephants. Swimming trunks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But elephants kind of can swim.
But trunks, you get that bit of
no,
it,
I get
right?
that bit, yeah. But why do you need the fish? Trunks. Because the elephants can already swim.
They're more known. You wouldn't look at an elephant and go, classic swimming creature.
Yeah, true.
The Mark Spitz of the animal world.
No, I prefer Andy's punchline. I think I'm going to... My goal is I'm going to rewrite all these and then put them back in the bonbons.
What was that?
See how
the most remembered elephant?
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Wow, what a burn. Yeah.
Take it as a compliment.
the experiment, the laboratory.
The most remembered elephant, I think, was a 1970s art house film. Of two French actors just staring at each other for 2.5 hours.
Right. Okay, so imagine if you're at Christmas lunch and that comes out, the most remembered fish of all time. I'll try it on.
The most remembered fish of all time.
Okay.
I'll type it up.
Because there's no groan. There's no family like around the table going, oh, there's just people going, what?
Yeah.
Why did Rebecca fall off the swing because she was a fridge or whatever? Okay. You know, it's like that category of jokes.
The anti-joke.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome stuff.
Go on, give us another one.
Okay.
Maybe it'll take their minds off there being no vegetables in the fucking house. So, yeah.
A rapid anti-joke test.
There's no vegetables on the plate, but there's one of them writing the jokes going in the bonbons. All right. How does Jack Frost get to work?
He's a fridge.
Oh, here we go. There we go.
that's good. Jack Frost do for work?
That's a two-parter. How does Jack Frost get to work? Okay, here we go.
Get to work. Frost is a mythical creature who makes it cold, right?
Is he a snowman
Doesn't
or not?
Doesn't he bring winter and...
I guess, yeah. Isn't he?
I'm not familiar with his oeuvre.
Yeah.
Jack Frost. Yeah, what did Jack Frost do?
I know that I'm good with names, not with faces. I know the name.
you know him if you met him.
Yeah. If I ran into Jack Frost.
You know, Jack Frost, he's like, he looks like the Green Goblin from Spider-Man whatever, and he's like casting
I thought he was
coldness.
A snowman. Is he not a snowman? I thought he was maybe a snowman.
No.
That would You're thinking no... of Frosty. The
yeah,
snowman.
Frosty the snowman, yes.
The name, yeah, that name. Yeah.
Jack Frost's mates call him Frosty, so it does get confusing.
That's how I know him.
Yeah, Krusty. Right.
Krusty. Yeah.
How does he get to work, Andy?
I mean, snowmobile would be too obvious. It's got the name in it.
Yeah.
It's not really a pun. It's not really a joke.
Yeah.
That's better though.
It's better than
what I've read. Okay. Right. Snowmobile.
Right. How does he get to work? You know what? On the brus.
That's good. I don't mind that.
Fucking hell.
On the
chili something. The
yeah, but chili could mean hot.
That's true. But it depends how you spell it.
On a icicle.
There we go.
He's done it.
Oh yes. Yes.
By icicles.
There we go.
By icicles.
Lovely. Satirist work. Fire.
Well done. Well done.
Holy shit.
Where was John Oliver on that one?
This is my new quiz show. Are you funnier than a bonbon?
Or are you just as funny as a bonbon?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like this one's an old one that people might know. Why did the golfer wear two pairs of trousers?
Oh, that's an easy one. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a sponsorship deal.
But look, you know what? I think this is an obvious one for Andy and I, because we're sports fans. But maybe you haven't come across this one. Tom Ballard.
Because there was a hole in one?
There we go. Fuck. Ding, even ding. Him. Yeah, yeah. Even Tom Ballard knew that one.
What does an angry kangaroo do?
Oh, here we go. Well, we've got the advantage here, but, you know, being so familiar with animals.
Yeah, like I've eaten one of these, so I'm across it.
Right. Yeah.
I believe it's hopping mad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, come on.
Real dip off in quality.
Yeah, sorry.
Come on, you got to vet these. Right. Come on. One more.
I'm wanting to have a unique experience. Well, this one. Oh, here we go. One more. Okay. I literally don't even know what this means.
Right.
Okay.
Great.
What's furry and minty?
I can't wait to try and guess that was, the answer.
That was actually the name of John Oliver in my double act.
Which was which?
It's furry and minty.
What's furry?
Furry
and minty.
Minty.
All right, this is a good one. As in, this is genuinely tricky.
I have a feeling based on some of the wording in one of the other ones, that these are British based.
Oh, okay.
And I have a feeling that the punchline refers to something British that something I'm not familiar British. With.
Oh.
The only British. Possible explanation for me, having not heard of something.
Right. What about, in that case, what about this? What's furry minty? A couple of right slappers. Is that possible?
Someone, right. Having it large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
furry and minty.
Furry and minty.
Furry and minty.
Now, what's minty really? I don't really know what
toothpaste.
So toothpaste.
Well, you wouldn't bloody know what that is, would you, mate?
English. Get it?
I'm just having a laugh.
Yeah.
Furry and minty. Austin Powers after brushing his teeth.
Yeah.
There we go. That's something. Furry and minty. What about this? What's furry and minty? Molgate toothpaste. Because it's mole is furry and minty is the toothpaste.
Yep.
Molgate.
Yep.
Hooray, says everyone at Christmas dinner.
Yeah. Okay. Any other guesses?
Shit, some pun on Chewbacca and chewing gum. Ooh. I mean, that could work.
Okay.
Tom Ballard? Furry and minty.
Furry and minty. A woman named Peppermint's vagina.
Okay, there we go. That's not quite bad. Good. That's got a laugh.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That would be sick. You have a box of Christmas crackers where just one of the jokes in one of them is just incredibly bawdy. Yeah. It's just filth. Just like, what do you call a snowman with it? And then just like, what do you call a woman who you've just... It's just like brutal imagine, shit in the mix.
What joke did you get, Grandma?
Imagine that joke coming out to, you know, a Christmas dinner over at the Allsops and Mrs. Allsop absolutely spitting out the lack of parsnips that are in there.
Spitting out her unseasoned lettuce leaf that just has nothing on it. Enjoy your salad and get out at 3 p.m.
Her roast cabbage comes flying out.
What's furry and minty? A polo bear.
A polo bear. So we have polo mints.
Polo mints.
Knew it.
They're little round mints and they're USP.
Okay.
That they have a hole in the middle.
Right.
Okay.
Like our lifesavers. That's basically what we have.
A polo bear. So there you go.
Brilliant.
All right. They're all British. They're all based on things from Britain. I got
to
chuck them.
I think you need to give that to Andy to send home with him.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's his souvenir from Australia.
Very nostalgic.
Your children won't believe their luck when they arrive in February.
Yeah. Finally, I'm letting you guys have Christmas this year, and this is what you get.
All right. Well, I've got to go get another box of bonbons. This has been a disaster. And yes. I think, you know what?
Why do you call them bonbons, brother? Because, I mean, we call them crackers.
Yeah. They're called bonbons sometimes. Right. In a box for these, it said. They call them bonbons.
Yeah, I've always been a little bit confused by that. I've always known them as Christmas crackers, and then all of a sudden some people are fruiting them up and calling them bonbons.
Yeah. Bonbons, bit more fun to say. But I'm going to take a leaf out
of the
story.
What's more fun than the word cracker?
Why is it a bonbon?
I don't know.
Because cracker, it makes a crack noise.
Yeah,
But a bonbon, that's
French for good.
Good.
And I feel like I'm on trial here as if mediocre, I came up with the name.
Yeah.
Cracker is a little bit racially charged, you know. Right. Like,
oh, is that why? No.
No, it was a joke on your fucking comedy podcast, you dumb piece of shit.
Well, I don't know that much.
I have to go.
All right, I'm taking a leaf out of Carl Chandler's story from before, and I'm gonna sneak some Chandler originals.
Into the box of bonbons.
See how they go down.
Oh my god, I would love that.
Okay, all right.
You need to record the response.
Yeah. Send me.
I need these laughs.
Send me a couple of ones that you reckon will play well in a bonbon.
I will,
and I'll replace the ones I've taken out of here.
Okay.
With some Chandler originals,
please.
Okay, all right,
I'm gonna do there on Christmas Day. I'm eating my lettuce, and I unwrap. My little surprise. Yeah. Do midgets call mini golf?
No, that's
golf.
Not. That's old. That's no longer in the set list. But by donating these jokes, that will disprove the cliche that people with one-liners are selfish, because I'm very generously passing off my material to your lunch.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, we better wrap it up there. Thank you, Tom Ballard. Thank you, Andy Zaltzman, for joining us. Andy, people can check out The Bugle, your podcast.
Yes.
Anything else you'd care to plug?
When's this going out?
Next week. So you have shows in Sydney.
I've shows in Sydney on the 4th of January. There's a Bugle live show, and then I'm doing a Satirist for Hire show straight after it at the Comedy Store. And tune into the Bugle and the BBC cricket coverage.
Yes. And I saw Andy stand up last night. It was excellent. Very, very funny.
Thank you.
So Andy's the best. Sydney. Everyone can see Andy.
Tom, what do you got?
People can listen to my podcast, Like I'm a 6-Year-Old, and my other podcast, Serious Danger, about the Australian Greens and how good the Greens are.
My Christmas lunch. Spinach and cos.
I suppose if people are in Melbourne, the Just for Laughs Australia event is happening, which Tommy and Carl are very aware of. It's going to be great, and all your favourite comedians are going to be on there. And
why are we very aware of it?
You're just aware.
Oh, okay.
And
good thing to give them a plug. The little green man's not on there anymore. I think he got cancelled or something.
He's been cut. But I will be performing details at Just for Laughs Australia or whatever.
Great. All right, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you, mates.
And they've done it again.
Oh, Bernie has kicked a big, moist, sandwichy one.
Yep.
A lot of fun. New.
No, shouldn't it be Bernie's boulder big one?
He's boulder.
Because it should be cricket themed in honor of our guest.
Bernie's turned a big one.
Sure.
He's turned one. He's a spinner.
Bernie's kicked a big duck. Is that something?
Not really.
No, that's bad, isn't it?
It's nice to be a try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taking an interest.
Yeah.
I'm trying to broaden my horizons.
When I don't get a laugh doing a joke, I've gone out for a duck sandwich.
There you go.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I've got to feed you those one-liners for your crackers. So that'll be fun. Fun to have someone in for the first time. Andy, mm-hmm. didn't know him before we did this. Saw his stand-up last night. It was excellent. So go and check him out if you can.
If you're in Sydney. Mm. January the 4th, I think he said. He's doing his solo show, and he's doing a live Bugle. Mm. But yeah, very, as always, with people like this, very nice of him to say yes to coming and doing the show. In spite of the fact that he doesn't know us from a bar of soap.
Yes.
And we're both very distracted because a small dog has just wandered into the room that we're recording in.
Yep. And and he's got better stuff to do as well at the moment.
Yes.
So good for him. None of those things are applicable to Tom Ballard. He's got fucking nothing on but going to see Spider-Man today, which we had to change the time of the recording so he could go and see Peter Parker getting bitten by Will Spider.
Yeah, it's Spider-Man. Mm. He's Spider-Man.
His parents got killed but shot to death by a big spider with a gun.
Actually, that's Batman you're thinking of.
Oh, Batman got shot by a spider. That's weird of him to come up with the idea of being a bat after all that.
Mm. Bat v. Spider.
Yeah. But I'll bow to your knowledge. Yeah, heaps of fun. Look, end of the year, Tommy.
Yeah.
Next week, look, little spoiler alert. Should we say this? Next week will be a little best of.
Mm-hmm.
Best of 2021. I mean, there's so much to choose.
Should be a fucking short episode.
Oh, we're bad. but of course,
imagine being us.
Yeah, but we'll have plenty of new content within that as well. But just a little trip down memory lane, and you guys will have voted by now online on the socials. If you missed out, don't miss out next year. Or maybe, look, maybe there might be dribs and drabs of the things still happening. Who knows? But anyway, get onto our socials: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yep,
find out all the fun that we have online there. Yeah, it's been a. Not a bad year for us, considering, in terms of episodes, a lot of Zoom stuff, which is not ideal, but we did the best job we could.
Still churned out some good ones,
yeah.
Even with the Zooming. We had some pretty fun ones.
Yeah,
so looking back as I was making the poll list for people to vote on the best episode of the year.
Yep.
And, you know, it's funny because I'm typing them in individually and going through and, you know, it's like a bit of a flashback through the year. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we didn't know it at the time. That was the last one before lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
And then getting into the lockdown ones. And it's, you know, the first week of it, you're like, oh, man, what a drag having to do this again. And we're in lockdown and it's a bit depressing. And then getting to, for example, the Cam James and Jen Fricker one, going like, yeah, that was really fun.
Yep.
We were laughing our ass off in that one.
Yep.
The Dave Callan and Andrew Wolf one, it's like, yeah, I feel like we...
Oh, yeah.
I feel like a good... basically 2 years of doing it, we, by the end of the last lockdown, we'd gotten pretty good at it.
I'm looking back at the list. I'm looking at some fun episodes, actually. I wonder who I'm going to vote for. Who are you going to vote for, Tommy?
I'm going to vote for this one that we just did.
No.
Ineligible. There is one or two episodes every year that that miss the cutoff that then, we almost should include them in next year's one, but too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad, Zaltzman and Ballard. You will not be making the best of 2022 that we do next year.
Sorry, guys. I'm just looking. The Melbourne Live ones, I always like the Melbourne Live ones. They're always heaps of fun. Yeah, what else? The Sydney Live one, maybe?
Yep.
Maybe not. What else was this year?
This is pointless to riff on because the voting's basically closed by the time that this comes out.
I know, but I'm still, it's nice to walk down memory lane.
You'll get to walk down memory lane when we record our intros and outros all these eps.
Fair enough.
Is funny, too, putting the list together and trying to predict, as you're typing them out, if you're like, I reckon I can see the five. I reckon I can see the five in my head.
Is that what you think?
I think so.
Really?
I think I've got a pretty good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking, I'm not really knowing, actually. Yeah. I'm nothing. They all look pretty good without any of them super jumping out. You know what the thing is? I've got to remember what the story. I'm just looking at the faces. I'm not thinking about the content.
I'm thinking about
the stories. For example, like... You know, Dave Callan, that was a pretty good riff about
Spy
that,
School,
the whole Spy School sort of stuff.
Yep.
So you're right. It's a little bit. Yeah, you need that content. You need that. For example, like Danielle Walker episode where you know that there's heaps of weird family shit going on.
Yep.
There's a nice little through line you can attach. You can attach your wagon to. Yeah, okay, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. There's no super clear winners to me.
Plenty of time to look back. Next week when we do that. In the meantime, if you want to look into the future, people probably not in a huge ticket buying mood right now, just relaxing post Christmas, but just to remind you, the 500th
never too early
episode,
to start shopping for next Christmas.
Exactly.
Mm.
The 500th episode coming up January the 15th in Melbourne. Few tickets left, and then the after party at about 11 PM or so at the European Beer Cafe. Tickets to that as well. Finally we're doing it. Biggest theatre we've ever done. Heaps of friends of the show popping in. It's going to be a great, big, spectacular show. We've got a lot of stuff planned that I think is going to really surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, Yeah, the after party would be straight after the show. I did put it as 11 o'clock, and now that I'm now I'm looking at it, I'm going, why did I put it that late? It'll probably be earlier than that. Yeah. Because the show will be like, the 500th episode will be like 8:30 till 10 o'clock, I guess, or something like that. So then
I reckon we just fucking bash it out in 30 minutes and get out of there.
Oh, just make the after party really big. Okay.
Make the after party longer.
Yep.
Make the 500th episode celebration the shortest episode we've ever done.
Yep.
After waiting 2 years to do it, just be like, yeah, 15 minutes, we're in the building.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Yep.
Got him. She'll be back. All right, thanks. What a great 500 episodes. Then, of course, we have Brisbane, January the 29th, sold out, but do remember, if you had a ticket to the original date in August, it is still valid for either the live podcast or the Talking Dum Dum across the street. Both sold out.
Adelaide, Perth, Melbourne after that. Won't go too crazy into it. You know what's going on. Just get a ticket. Mm-hmm. Great. Heaps of great live stuff to look forward to for us. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing man, it's going to be interesting doing so many live shows in the next 3 months or so.
Yes, it's a mammoth start to the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, get on all that. Meanwhile, if you're looking for some extra content over the break, you're looking for some stuff to listen to, you can get onto our Patreon where you get access to the backlog of episodes that we've been doing over the last 2 years. Two mini episodes every week, Mondays and Fridays. It adds up to anywhere between 30 and 40 or so minutes of extra content a week with guests, some really spicy ones that we've done. Always lots of fun. So
they get into that. I would say this, Tommy, I don't know if you agree, they are more fun to do than the regular apps.
Absolutely. Yeah. We put less planning in and they're often funnier.
Yeah. They're a real look. No offense to Andy Zaltzman, because we've just heard about his love of Test cricket. And I suspect not so much love of the shorter game of cricket. But it's a real hit and giggle version of Little Dum Dum Club. But it's a lot. I'm not a big fan of 2020 cricket, but I am a fan of 2020 Dum Dum.
2020 comedy. Yeah. We come in. Maybe just a vague idea of something to kind of riff out, and we often end up on a
But that's a very good point. It's a best time to sign up. Potentially, if you are on holidays and you're on the beach, if you know, this is the new summer reading, isn't it?
Mm.
Instead of getting a book, it's get some extra podcasts.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, I don't particularly like sitting on the beach and reading. I like to read. I like to sit on the beach. I don't think it's a great combo. But I'll tell you what, listening to podcasts on the beach is a way better one.
Hmm.
So I would be, if I was you guys out there, I'd be doing this, getting the extra content. And doing a bit of chuckling on the beach.
Yeah, looking like people were looking at me like I was insane because I was just laughing on the beach.
Whenever I see someone laughing, I'm like, why isn't this cunt locked up?
What's wrong with this person?
Sometimes I'm like, maybe I need to take the law into my own hands. Maybe I need to shoot this person.
Yeah, they have to be insane. They couldn't possibly be just enjoying something.
And I work a lot at like my, you know, a basement comedy where people are laughing a lot in that show, and I'm still thinking, what the fuck are these idiots doing?
I've seen you push Husey off the stage to lecture the crowd and go, what the fuck? Are you okay? Yeah. We need to stop this gig because we currently have 100 mentally unwell people in here.
And also, on top of that, a bit of respect for Dave Hughes. He's like a famous celebrity.
Stop making noise while he's trying to talk.
Yeah.
He's trying to vent his spleen and admit about things that make him angry.
Yeah.
It's not easy to. It's not everyone has the confidence to do that. And you're mocking him.
He is a respected virologist.
Yes.
Yeah. Please listen to the advice.
But yeah, so if you get on the Patreon now, you can get close to 200 of those mini eps with all sorts of your favies from across the Little Dum Dum canon. But most importantly, you will go into the draw to get your name read out in this segment that we like to call Talking Dum Dum.
Yeah, what a thrill for people last week to get read out on a live episode.
Yeah, we're coming off the high of having done our first ever live one.
Yeah. Big thrill for those people.
But we get to do it again in a few weeks.
Oh, we do too. That was a nice little dry. Look, to be honest, that dry was a run. Nice dry run for Brisbane.
Yeah.
Because it was like a little show. Brisbane sold out. It's a bigger room. It'll be, we're going to be match fit for Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get all the kinks out of the first ever live Talking Dum Dum we've ever had.
Well, we just know now, you know, we've got to make sure there's a screen behind us. And we've got to make sure one of the people's names we read out has a Facebook where they're saying that they're gay every second day.
Yes.
And then the rest of the gig just takes care of itself.
It's all easy from there. all right. Well, let's see if we can adjust back to the Test cricket version of Talking Dum Dum. Mm. To the... Yeah, just the relaxed. No one swinging for the pickets.
Yep.
Just this is more of a 5 day or maybe even a 5 name event than a
okay.
sort of trying to get a 6 every ball. Because it is a bit like that, isn't it? Live performance when you're out in front of people, you need to go a bit crazier. Whereas here, you know, I know you guys are sitting at home listening to this, but we don't really give a fuck about that. Mm. We're just trying to entertain ourselves.
This might be being played live in a jail or an oil rig in spite of the illegally. Copyright notice that we put before it. Illegally. But that's not what it was designed for.
Yes.
So that's not...
Yep.
It's being done under different conditions.
Sometimes people play this as the music at strip clubs.
Mm.
As someone is disrobing and they'll, you know, you'll hear the tail end of Dr. Feelgood and then into a bit of Talking Dum Dum.
Mm.
As some peroxide blonde is taking off her knickers.
Yes. Mm. God, I really hope that we can fulfill the thing that came up on this episode of someone who has the knowledge of how to mod PC games and putting us, if we can record our own GTA radio station and someone can put that in as a mod that then people can download,
can they
would make me happier, honestly.
Can they at least switch the audio so you... Isn't it in one of those... games in one of the GTAs that Ricky Gervais is doing stand-up, can you at least mod it so when he opens his mouth it's our podcast coming out instead of his dog shit?
I wonder if, because that one is from, that's from quite a while ago, that GTA that he's in.
Okay.
So I wonder if that's easier to fuck around with or harder because it's older. But happy to be in whatever GTA is easiest to mod.
Right.
And if that just so happens to be the one that, yeah, it's us heckling Ricky Gervais, that would be fucking great.
That'd be great because he's definitely a one for saying, oh, you can't say anything anymore. Well, he literally can't in that game. He can't say anything because we're over the top of
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, get to work on that, any PC boffins listening. But in the meantime, we got to start reading some names. We've got to mod this segment with some names.
Yep, because we got. I think we're both hungry boys.
We're both hungry boys, and yeah, I've been fucking potting my little ring off for the last couple of weeks with banking these and banking the other show that I do. So I'm ready to fucking.
Oh, hit is this the, it for hit you? The,
yeah, after this.
Wow.
This is it for until this Christmas. Is,
yep.
Hit apart the out from of the, office.
Apart from the dummies we're about to do.
Yeah. This yeah. Is, this oh, how many it. Have we got?
Couple.
A couple.
Yeah, yeah.
You fucking lied to me again. You said there was
no. One. We just got one.
Oh, we just got
just
one.
Then. Okay. Yeah, and yeah. Look, we do. Oh, look. It's. I kind of guess it's a mini little ad, but we do put in too much effort to those things. So, anyway. All right. Let's crack in. First name off the first name off the cab rank.
Mm-hmm.
There's a name in the cab rank instead of cabs. There's names in the cab rank this week. People are drunk. They're lining up to try and get home, and they can't get home because there's just names there.
Or the little light-up thing on top of the taxi just says, like, Daryl on
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber Johnny Slocum.
Johnny Slocum.
Yeah. Or you could say Slocum, as in he's lasting a little while in the cot. But maybe, potentially more importantly, is it is the same surname, and I'm sure he's copped this a lot of times over the years, unless he's a kid. It's the same name as the infamous Mrs. Slocum from
Are You Being Served? I would say if he's my age, he probably hasn't copped it.
Well, you said it before I said it, so you must know it.
I know it from hanging around you.
Right.
So I reckon he's maybe heard it, maybe like an uncle at a, or not an uncle because they may even have the same, you know, like just a family friend or something.
Just the way you
then,
heard it from Uncle Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just depends like what kind of people he's hanging. I think maybe 35. I was definitely aware of Are You Being Served growing up, but I was never invested in the canon of it.
Right. Well, just for people that don't realise what is going on, Mrs. Slocum worked at the department store in Are You Being Served, and she was very, very, very want to mention about the condition or of her cat.
Right, okay, because I think for some reason it's you and Adam Rosenbach that always bring it up on this show.
Really? Do I talk about it?
It comes up a bit.
I would have thought it would be a Tony Martin thing, maybe.
Yeah, I've got a memory of Rosie bringing it up. Maybe the last time he was on, but anyway.
Sure.
Mrs. Slocum's pussy.
Yes.
I know I've never really known. I mean, I can kind of put the pieces together.
Yeah.
But so that there's a lot of jokes in the show about her talking about her cat.
Well, you know, a lot of her talking about her cat, but, you know, hey, it's winter, middle of winter. How are you? Mrs. Slocum, wow, it's pouring out there. I've only just got in. My pussy is so wet, etc.
And this is just in a sitcom.
Yes, this is in the late 70s sitcom.
You'd never English get that sitcom. Now. You'd never get that in a primetime.
Maybe in England. You're saying, oh, that would never happen again. I mean, Mrs. Brown's Boys is still going red hot, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I assume there's a lot of stuff there. Yeah, I'm thinking about your Big Bang Theories and your big sitcoms where they'll dance around it, but they'd never be that direct.
England is known a lot more for that sort of stuff.
That's true. I'd say. Yeah.
You know, Mrs. Slocum was always like, oh, what's, you know, she walks in, what happened this week? Oh, I copped it up the ass. I mean, my cat's
right.
Doing okay.
Probably a fair few Mrs. Brown's Boys DVDs having just been unwrapped over the weekend.
Fuck, what a brutal present. A, Mrs. Brown's Boys, B, DVD. God.
It's the fact that you can't really give entertainment anymore as a gift.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, hey, this movie that you loved or this series that, you know, it was such an easy gift back in the day. It's like, giving it to my parents. It's like, hey, they're always going on about how they love Midsummer Murders. Get them a box set. You can't really go, hey, mum and dad, here's my Stan login. This is the gift I'm giving you, and then I'm going to change the password after a month. But get on there and just watch as much Midsummer Murders as you want.
Yeah,
that's my gift to you.
We should have done that with this. We should have gone, okay, you know what, Patreon subscription. Let's package it together as a present. You can get it for someone else. And it's maybe it's like it got a guaranteed name readout at the end of it.
Oh, something. Yeah. That's not bad.
Maybe that's a good
idea. I was watching the documentary about Martin Shkreli the other day, it reminded me of how we were going to do a Wu-Tang podcast.
It's still sitting in the depths of my mind of that idea.
I think about it every now and then. It's we should do it.
The
$1,000 podcast.
Yeah.
There's one. We put it on a USB and then that's it.
Yep.
Only person to hear it is the person who buys it.
Well, with the Martin Shkreli, with the Wu-Tang one-off album, it was like, it did have the thing of like, you're not allowed to play it on oil rigs and the rest of it.
He did have to sign a thing saying he was never going to release it, did he? Or did he just not do that because he's a troll?
No, you're not allowed to commercially release it.
Yeah, but he could have just put it up for free if he'd wanted.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Because he does, in the doco, I never realized this, but at that time, he was constantly doing live streams just on YouTube, where he would just sit in his house and he'd read out his phone number and people would call him up. Mm. And there's all these clips where people are like, hey man, play the Wu-Tang album. Mm. That'd be great. And he's like, oh yeah, you want to hear it? Yeah. Are you a big Wu-Tang fan? Yeah, I really am. Okay, what was their last album? Get out. Beep. Hang up on them. Like, he just, he's got this thing that it's like, the stream is just him doing nothing, just sitting there. And it's like, mate, you could get some fucking big views off this.
Yeah.
Play the album. People will love you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think the great thing about that was like, oh, I'm the only person to listen to this Wu-Tang album. It's like, cool, by that stage, there wasn't that many people listening to the other ones. Like,
yeah. They did it as like an art piece where they were like, this should be music as an artwork that only one person owns. But then what would have been funny is if he had have played it just like, say, off his phone on that YouTube live stream, people would have recorded that and then that would have been the publicly available version of it, would have been a version that sounds like dog shit because it's been through YouTube compression and played off of, and then maybe he's talking over the top of it, which is awesome. I love that that's the readily available version of it is like a fucking watered down shitty thing.
But, of course, you don't want to do that because it's probably a 6 out of 10 album. He's sitting there going, you know what, if he sells it, there's no selling a better version of something that people have already heard and know that's not that great.
Mm.
You just go, oh, the mystery's more interesting.
Oh, totally.
That's why we're still talking about it.
Yep.
But...
And then he was saying at one point he was going to like melt it down and use it as a coaster and everything.
Yeah.
And they ask, they talk to Ghostface in the documentary and they're like, what do you think about him doing that? And they're like, I mean, he's a cunt, but that's why we did it. That's funny.
Yeah.
Like, we love that he was just like, fucking whatever.
Well, also, from what I believe is most of the Wu-Tang Clan didn't realize they were participating in this project at the time of recording. So it was a lot of them were just doing bits and pieces and then all of a sudden one day in the news, oh, yeah, we sold an album for $1 million. Oh, did we?
I'll check the bank account right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Johnny Slocum.
Thanks, Slocum.
By the way, he does look... like, he's in the,
like an old woman's pussy?
No, he's in the wheelhouse of possibly, very possibly, as you suspected, not having any idea of who this person is. But if you, if you grow up with the surname Slocum, sorry, but it is, I don't care what year you're born in, someone's coming up to you and fucking saying it
At some point along the way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even if it's your, you know what? Probably your teacher is giving you a fair go.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I reckon. And then the teacher's like doing a bit of Mrs. Slocum's pussy gear in maths.
Yeah.
And going, I can't believe I'm not killing this fucking class.
Yeah.
This is awful. Because it's full of year sevens that don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you idiot.
I mean, it probably still would kill. Just going, oh, yeah, my pussy's wet.
Yeah, yeah.
Bunch of year threes are going to go, fuck yeah, this is
just
great.
Just a teacher saying
I
pussy.
I love maths
that
now.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. All right, thanks, Johnny. Let us know. Let us know how. Let us know the first time you heard about your name and a pussy attached to it.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber Alex Bishop.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of chess talk in this episode, very briefly.
Oh yeah.
Good chess piece.
Is it?
Moving around diagonally. Pretty
is that,
good.
Is that how
good
it works?
Board coverage.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
I
believe so. Now you got me doubting it.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's the diagonal one.
Yeah. I've got nothing for chess. I'd quite like to be, quite like to know. It's like wine to me. Would enjoy being good at it.
Yeah.
Not going to put in the effort, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can still remember how to play it. I played it a little bit when I was a kid, but it really is like, yeah, it's a lot of games you can kind of like, you know, Monopoly you can play casually and still have a good time. But chess is like you really, really need to know the ins and outs to get any kind of enjoyment out of it.
Right.
If you just stumble in, you're going to probably get the floor wiped with yourself.
You know, I don't want to put in any effort. I don't want to learn it. Well, I just want to skip to playing some old cunt in a park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On a bench.
Is there anywhere in Melbourne you can do that?
Oh, I would absolutely presume, yes. And the first person I would ask would be John Safran. I've got a very good idea. That's the sort of thing that guy does.
Yep, yep.
Just, probably he just can't wait to get old and be the guy that people, that the young punks come and play.
Yeah, there's probably like bits in. Actually, you know what? I have a feeling that there's a bit in his book that he put out a few months ago where he goes and interviews someone in that very context. They're playing chess in a park.
Possibly. Maybe where my subconscious is getting that from.
Yeah.
Because I did read it. But I don't remember that scene. But Alex, look, I'm on the record saying I like Alex as a name. For sure.
It's pretty good.
Bishop, fine by me. I'm happy to sign off on this name.
Yep.
I'm happy to let this continue. I don't need anything altered. I don't need anything changed. Happy for him to get married and not change either of his two names.
You know what would be cool? Him getting together with someone called, with the surname Actor. As the actor said to the bishop.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
You'd be having a bit of fun around the house with that one.
I believe it's Actress.
Is it Actress?
Yes.
Well, you're not allowed to call them that now, I don't think.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Well, it's still, you know, Jennifer Actress is a great name.
Yeah, yeah, I like that too. Jennifer Actress. It's even got the surname Actress. That's good.
I'm reading a book at the moment where, and this name is meant to be funny, but and it succeeded. Someone has the name Juliet Napkin.
Juliet
Napkin.
Napkin. Yeah. That's
Napkin
good.
Is a surname I quite like.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
But yeah, Jennifer Actress and Alex Bishop. Getting and her proposing to him, getting down on one knee and saying, as the actress said to the bishop,
yeah,
will you marry me?
Yeah. Worth it. I genuinely encourage anyone called Actress to look up Alex and see if see what you think about him, see if it's worth committing life to him for one little gag that would probably get a very small reaction out of us.
Yep. Probably you'd message us in, you know, this is a couple of years down the track, presumably by the time all these things happen. And we just have no memory of this riff. So the message just stays on read.
Yeah.
Or gets a ha.
Yeah. It's like, is this the one after the Slocum pussy thing?
Right, even that. Well, yep. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. I was really tired that day. I was getting hungry.
Yeah.
It was the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, we just done the that cricket cunt fucking thing.
Oh,
with
that's right. He was on the show, wasn't he?
That wannable cunt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Thanks for reaching out. But Alex Bishop, this is how you meet your wife. You're welcome.
Yeah. You're let
welcome.
Us know.
You're welcome. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Let us know. Let us know if it happens. If not, let us know who you do marry so that we can change our saying to, as the Smith said to the Bush Bishop.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. As the Slocum mm-hmm. said to the Bishop.
Yep. Don't mind that.
Yeah. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Suze Morris. Suze.
Suze.
Mm. Not Susie, not Suzanne, the S-U-Z-E.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. You don't like it? It's
a bit strange.
Bit familiar?
Bit strange.
Bit too familiar for
Suze.
You.
Suze, yeah, I don't know.
I'm into it. I like it as abbreviation. It's quite, it's one of those, attractive names to me. It's like...
it's an old woman name to me. Famously, really? All of whom are unattractive.
Well, at the moment, I mean, you know, look, once you get older, you know, you notoriously always are repelled by the young, and you only, if you're 70, you only want to fuck 70-year-olds.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. You want to stay in your lane.
Yeah,
it would
yeah.
be crass of me.
It's just like, you know, the opposite sex or the same sex, whoever you're attracted to, is famously becomes exactly like dark chocolate. All of a sudden, yummy yum.
Yes,
I
want yes.
to eat that out.
I want to fuck that club bar.
Yes. Absolutely. My dick doesn't get hard for under 60% cocoa.
Yes, yes. I feel we were talking about this very recently, the chocolate thing. But it is so bizarre that it's like, yeah, it's like a, it's like frequencies that you just can't hear
yeah,
as your
like
ears deteriorate. It's like yep. something happens where you cross a line where you're like, my grandpa gave me this when yep. I was 8 and I wanted to spew. But yep. now
yes.
I would drinking, eating a block of Cadbury Dairy Milk is just like is like water. It's
yes.
nothing.
Yes.
It's not doing the trick at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, it's like flat lemonade. Fuck this.
Yep.
It's for fucking babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am my. It's like Amyl now for me. My asshole is fucking loose and wide open.
Opens right up.
Yeah.
For a bit of dark chocolate.
Yep. Darker the better. I need my chocolate from deepest Africa. Or don't fucking worry about it. I'm a demon for it at the moment. I'm fucking loving it. Someone, you know what? I put this on the socials the other day, but I was walking through a park over the road from our house with little blanket, mm-hmm. and a truck did pull up. And look, I did do a bit of a double back because I did suspect that they were giving out free ice creams. And they gave out the you got the pack of Rolo.
Someone gave us a Rolo block
at the
Heathcote show, and I've only just remembered it's in my bag. Fuck. Do you want it?
Sure. If you're not going to have it,
no.
I'm going to. I've got no. What do you call it? I have to eat everything at once. I can't just sit there and have one little piece at a time or something.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have that, I have to have the whole thing, or I have to chuck it in the bin.
I know, that's why I'm putting it in front of you.
Don't you want to have some of it?
No.
All right. Well, I've never had a roller, so I'll try it. But
I'm saving myself for the lack of veggies on Christmas.
Oh, right. Roast some Rolos for your beer.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah, actually, what am I thinking? I could put these out.
Yeah.
Break them all up.
In your beaten up Rolo bag that you've got out of your bag.
I feel like it's gotten pretty disintegrated by being at the bottom of. Oh no, I feel like it's just kind of like the little bits are broken up, but like not the, you know what I mean? Like the little blocks are the.
No, I have that. Look, the person that did the right thing by giving us this thing of Rolo. And look, a lot of times people do give us stuff at live shows, and it gets left behind because we're in the middle of trying to fucking do a live show.
Yeah, and also and it's either like it's too big to carry around, or it's like, as is the case with this, and it's exactly what we were talking about before. It's like, hey, 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
You mentioned Fanta for 3 seconds in a riff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here's a 2-liter bottle of Fanta, and it's like, I don't want this.
Oh,
I don't want to drink
doesn't
Fanta
fit in my
right
bag.
Now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But look, hey, if you're gonna do that stuff, I still encourage it. But just, you know what? Next time someone comes up, say, "Ah, oh, here's this thing you talked about on the show," and you go, "Cool," and you go, "Now put it in your bag right now, so you don't forget."
Yeah,
that'll
yeah,
actually
yeah,
help
yeah.
me.
Sure, give it to us at the end of the gig when you can see that we're already
yes.
in the bag. Not when, as was the case with this, and not to be rude,
yep.
I was in the middle of setting up
yep.
and finding out that the tech was not going to be
yes.
at the gig. So I had bigger things on my mind
yes.
because we specifically we'd been talking about how, well, I think then on the social since, I put a video in 7-Eleven. Couldn't find a Rollo anywhere to fucking save myself.
Yeah.
So this person was going, but also this isn't the Rollo that I want. I don't want the block Rollo. I want the Rollo in the little tube. Yeah. That's half the fun. It's kind of like popping them out.
Yeah. Oh, look, that'll do. That'll be all right. What were we saying just before that? Before you pulled that Rollo out, what was I saying?
You got ice cream in the past.
Oh, yes. Dark chocolate. That's what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Yes. We got given big boxes of ice creams and stuff, and it was dark chocolate coating, and I put up on the socials, and there were people going, not for me, dark chocolate. Like, what are you talking about, you fucking little 3-year-old?
But it's also, I love when people do that. It's like, not for me. It's like, yeah, I wasn't asking.
Yeah.
I was just posting something that I'm enjoying. It's like also, when you go like, oh, I'm at this restaurant or cafe, it's really good, and then someone will get in the comments and go, oh, I went there once and it was shit.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Also, it was free, so I can put it in the bin.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. But it was good. We got, you know what? Some of our friends have got like sponsors for their podcasts and stuff. We need an on-brand sponsor. We need to fucking hook up with someone.
We had Moose for a very long time.
Yeah.
We need something. We need something in that wheelhouse again. Yeah.
I want to get a yummy sandwich. I want to get a fucking ice cream. I need a.
That would be the
even
dream.
A beer like would be fine by me.
Yeah, a store here going like where like off, you know what we're talking about in this episode. The chemist going, we're launching sandwiches.
Oh.
Or supermarkets going, we're going to start to take more inspiration from your Tesco's and your Lawson's in Japan, and we're going to up the quality of our sandwiches.
Yes.
And where are we promoting it? The Little Dum Dum Club.
Yes. Someone, you know, every time we put a shout out like this, a weird shout out where you go, no one's ever going to get back to us on this.
Mm.
We'll get it. We hear from people. So someone's got to know if some podcast appropriate sponsor. It doesn't even have to be some gangbuster huge deal. We want to fucking pin our wagon to something we love.
Yep. Just a little bit of bunts.
Yeah.
Some freebies.
Yep.
We don't, you know, it doesn't need to be a massive contract.
Something to do with us. Something to do with what we're on about. So it doesn't sound like we're just doing it. We're shilling for the money. We want an emotional investment in a
exactly.
brand and a product.
Yep.
So if someone out there can give us some ideas or to do with their company, to their business, or they've got an in somewhere, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck, we got a long way from Suze Morris.
Thanks, Suze Rollo Morris.
Yeah, thanks, Suze Morris. If you've got a business, being a professional old bitch, or in my opinion, being a professional hottie.
Pro hottie.
Yeah. If I mean that's not a great occupation.
Being I'm pro hottie.
A pro. Being a pro hottie does make you think of something that maybe is illegal. I don't know.
What do you do? You're blowing your nose every 3 seconds, and I'll be honest, it's really stressing me out.
Sorry.
Because we're a couple of days out as we're recording this from the huge event that's happening. I will be livid if I have to miss out on the big event of December the 25th.
What?
Paul Thomas Anderson's Licorice Pizza in cinemas. Genuinely, I think I'd
no
be more.
Veggie day.
I think I'd be more devastated about having to miss seeing that in the cinemas the day it comes out than I would missing Christmas Day.
Look, I felt a little bit flu the other day, so I went and got a test, and it is all negative. It's just literally the like a bit of flu.
Right.
So that's what
I thought
is.
That you had this like. You felt sick.
Mm.
You went and got a test.
Mm.
It felt like you dodged a bullet.
Mm.
And then you were like, I got the all clear. I'm going to Chadston. I was like, this cunt is out of his mind.
Yeah.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Well, yeah, you gotta live your life, don't you?
I cooked a beautiful ragu the other night and then had a bit left over last night for dinner. And I was eating it and I thought, fuck, I'm not tasting this.
Oh.
I'm in trouble here. And then I realized what I was doing. What actually had happened was I was funneling it into my mouth so quickly that it was spending no time on the taste
cartoon
buds.
Cartoon style.
Yeah. Right. So gobbling it down like, oh, yeah, actually, if I'm leaving this on the taste buds for more than 0.5 of a second,
right.
it is actually registering in my brain as tasting of something. It
hasn't touched the teeth. Straight down. Wow. No, well, look, it's all good. I did have to go chasing and go shopping, but no, just feeling a little bit sniffly and sore throat, and all fine. No big drama. Just hey, look, the only thing you're going to do is get really sick from the flu from talking to me.
So okay, that's cool. Fine. Yeah. Well, nature really is healing. We're back to the good old days when it was like someone would come around and go, "Hey, I'm sick, by the way, so you're also going to get sick."
Yeah, that's all. I've just got the chicken pox and whatever.
yeah,
so that's fine. Thanks, Suze Morris. Let us know which one you are out of the two predictions that Tommy and I have had. Thank you very much, Patreon subscriber Shane Grigg.
Shane Grigg.
What a disgusting last name.
Yeah. Grigg. We had a Grigg at my high school.
Did you?
Yeah. Grigg.
What were your thoughts?
Fine. You know, one of those people that you just kind of know vaguely.
Right.
And even through all your schooling, you've never really interacted with them all that much.
Yep.
They're just very periphery. And by the end, you're like, you know, you'd maybe get like, have once or twice where you've been put in a group with them.
Right.
For something, for like some kind of assignment.
Yep.
And even then, you barely talked. Yeah. But it is so weird that it's like you go through your schooling, and by the end of leaving school, it's like, I know everyone at my year level.
Yep.
On some level.
Yes.
Just these people that you've spent every day with for a few years.
Yes.
But they're still the people that you barely interacted with, and then you'd be forced to for some reason. You're like, wow, this is what's been going on here the whole time.
What's the one memory you've got from your Grigg? Like, because this is the thing I was thinking last night. I was thinking of a guy I went to school with when I was in grade four or whatever, and this one very distinct memory came out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, that's so weird that I just defined this guy by that one memory, and that is it. So what defines you Griggo to you?
Very skinny.
That's it?
That's it. That's all I've got.
Not one little interaction, not a conversation, not a word, not Mm-mm. a thing he did, not a thing he dropped, nothing. No. Just his skinniness.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it. That's all I've got.
I was just thinking last time about this guy I went to school with in grade four, and all I remember in terms of interactions, direct interactions, I remember being in the same car as him and playing indoor cricket with him, and he had just won the best and fairest
mm-hmm.
in grade four or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and I very distinctly remember him being dropped off and his dad being out the front mowing his lawn, and him saying, and even us yelling out the window, oh, your son, he's just won best and fairest. And the dad absolutely not giving a fuck about it. And me just thinking, he's the best at indoor cricket. How would you not...
Yeah.
How are you not just like fucking accidentally running into traffic with your lawnmower?
Yeah. Anyone can be the best. But to also be the fairest?
Yes.
That's no mean feat.
No, you know, no, he didn't even fucking stab anyone whilst playing indoor cricket. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how a man, and now a man, I assume, called Jason Hare, in my childhood memory, that's mm-hmm. how he is defined.
I wish I had anything about Grigg, but yeah, that just speaks to how opposite ends of the school we were operating
too
on.
Too many drugs in grade four for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I was high that entire time.
Wow.
Well, I mean, grade four was when I was in hospital high off my head on morphine at one point. Oh. So actually, yes.
Right. Wow, high off your head. And you were just a visitor.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Grigg, yeah. What a caveman. Like, that's the thing.
Grigg.
You would call someone Grigg that's a caveman. That's
it's very like it's very like kind of B science fiction alien race name. Mm. Oh, the Grigg.
Yeah.
The Grigg aliens.
Yeah. It's you know, I don't know if I said it once before, but people getting surnames from the occupation of the ancestor. That was, maybe they were, that's the first surname. That was Grigg the caveman.
Yeah,
that's where
it's
come
from. I mean, it's got Rig in there, so they could have been
shredded.
No
one in their family has ever had a job since then.
Right.
It's just a
professional caveman.
Yeah.
Right.
And they were going to reset the surname as soon as someone ever got a fucking job, but it just never have it. Just dole bludgers all the way through for thousands of years.
Go to their house, get driven around in their car. There's no floor on it. They're driving around with their feet.
Well, no, not even any car because they've been unemployed the whole time.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought you meant they're still like, you know, there's like an old-fashioned fan. You know, there's like people that are obsessed with the 50s.
Oh, yeah,
It's like the going Amish to someone's house and they're like, they've got a pig doing the dishes for them.
Right.
Like just living like the Flintstones.
Yeah, real hipster.
Real
hipster.
Yeah, I've got a car that's got no engine in it. I just power it by using my feet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, I mean, you can't have a job and do that. So,
Yeah,
maybe that's
exactly
it.
Yeah.
But just maybe the idea of everyone's evolving and going, I can't wait till until jobs are invented and we can name ourselves something new instead of these caveman names.
Yep.
And this guy just slipped through the net.
So, no, I'm happy. Walking upright, honestly, sounds like a fucking nightmare to me.
Yeah.
I'll stay hunched over. Thank you very much.
Industrial Revolution, not for me.
No.
Just keep the... And never got married. Never, no one, you know, female in the family ever got married and
nope.
got the new name.
Nope.
And yeah, just the last man standing in terms of caveman surnames.
Yep, that's you.
Yeah,
that's you, Grig, Mr. Grig.
So, well, thanks for somehow getting the money together.
Yeah,
despite absolute centuries of unemployment.
Probably stole it.
Yeah, probably just didn't know about money so much that was just like, maybe signed up on someone else's credit card. Maybe that's it.
Yeah,
that's probably it. So we really should be reading out someone else's name, not you, Grigo.
Sorry, Grig.
That's the only one we could find. So thanks, Grig.
Thanks, Griggy.
Thank you, Grig. Okay, well, this is it. This is it for the year for you, Tommy.
Yep.
Let's just do one more, and then that's it. And then you're off on, you're going to Podcast
long,
Ibiza.
Long service leave.
Yeah. Going to Podcast Ibiza, Podcast Gold Coast. What are you doing?
Yes, that's what I'm... That's what we're calling doing two dummios.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Your sister says you're fat.
Yeah, fuckhead. Merry Christmas. Bye. Thank you very much. Last one for the year. Last Patreon subscriber for the entire year of 2021. So thank you very much to Patreon subscriber. Okay. Maybe what we were talking about before, maybe this is what's happened. Someone signed someone up as a Christmas present because this isn't... Anyway, you'll find out. Thank you very much to Patreon subscriber, Mrs. Comedy's Pussy.
Oh, awesome.
So this is for like a pet.
That's funny stuff.
Yeah. So okay. It's for
yeah, a pet. Right.
Okay, no further.
Mrs. Comedy's wet pussy or just...
Oh, it doesn't say that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, look, maybe after hearing, you know, a shout out like this, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
May have doused themselves in the shower to just calm down.
Yeah.
From being so excited.
Yeah. I can see it. I can see getting aroused by having your name read out.
Yeah. And that's what's happened here, probably. Yeah. Yep. Thanks, Mrs. Comedy.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Pussy.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
Whoa.
Bye.
Whoa.